This meeting is being recorded.
All right, Rabotai, Boker Or, Mevorach. Erev Shabbat. And we're learning Parashat Mishpatim. Parashat Shofetim, Mechila, Shofetim. Summer Parashat. The time is short, we'll just say one fast Hiddush, and then we'll let our members be on their way. Shofetim v'shoterim t'ten lecha b'chol sha'alecha. The parasha says that we have an obligation to establish judges. Shofetim v'shoterim is enforcement. T'ten lecha b'chol sha'alecha. Sha'alecha, of course, can mean your gates, but in this case over here, sha'alecha doesn't mean gates. Since in the olden days, a city used to have gates. So in this sense, Sha'alecha is referring to a city. The city that has gates on the outside of it. And the Torah is coming to tell us that we have an obligation to establish Shofetim v'Shoterim, courts. And where do we establish the courts? By the gates. The Sefer Oznaim LaTorah asks, why is it necessary to put the courts at the gates of the city, which is on the outskirts of the city? We should put the courts in the middle of the city to make it equidistant to all the members so they can get to the court. It's not in Miklat, I understand, but still it should be in a place that's centrally located. So everybody that needs to get there, it's right in the center city. No, instead it says, that you have to put it on the outskirts by the gate itself. So the Oznaim LaTorah says two explanations why. One explanation is because in the olden days, when you'd have a traveler or a wayfarer or even a ger, and he's traveling on the roads, and all of a sudden he sees a city. How does he see the city? He sees the gates. Now he doesn't know anything about the people that are living in that city. Right. They could be cannibals, he said, for all we know. It could be like Sedom v'Amora. We don't know the behavior of the people that are inside. Could be like Las Vegas, Sin City. He doesn't know where he's going. Right. So the way that a person would know if the city was considered a city with ethics and values, you put the court right in front of the city, right in front of the gates. So anybody would walk by, you see, oh, over here there's law and order. Over here I could stay over here in this town over here. There's a Bed Din right at the entrance. Mm-hmm. So these guys over here living with a Torah law. They're not living with helter skelter. They're not living in, chaos. They're living with order. So therefore, that would invite the people. They should know, this town over here, you're safe. When there's a Bed Din at the Bed Din is like the mizuzah of the city. Just like in the Sha'aricha, you have to put a mizuzah. The Bed Din is the mizuzah of the city. It shows you this city is protected. Another explanation, he says, is because the gates of the city is where the most traffic is. Because that's where the people are coming in and out of the city. And therefore, you want to put the court in a place that is very visible, the ma'an yishmi'u mi'ira'u. You want the people to see justice. You want them to see that these guilty people are being executed. Why? So they will not come to make the same mistake. So therefore, they put it in a public area, which is a display, in order to show exactly the citizens that this is what happens if you perpetrate and you go against the deen. Well, that's why they put it b'sha'alecha. The question, however, we came to discuss today, very quickly, is one of the words in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Shofetim v'shoterim t'ten lecha. Lecha is to you. It's talking to an individual. The she'elah that we have today is, who is this individual that we're talking about? So I'd like to explain it in three ways. The first way we explain it is according to a famous ma'aseh that took place in Frankfurt. Frankfurt is the city in Germany. They established the chief rabbi. What happened? They found a young Tamid Hacham scholar. He was also a Dayan. And the committee, the Komiteh, they got together. And they don't know too much, but they asked some rabbis also. And they said, this guy's a very, very good guy. It's Kedai. So the president of the community went to the rab and said, listen, Hacham, we want you to be, you know, our teacher, our mentor, our guide. So, okay. Frankfurt's Hashuv Kekehila. So he accepts the job. The first day on the job, the guy didn't even settle in yet. After he signed the contract with the president, a regular guy from the working class, blue collar, comes to the Rav and says, Hacham, I have a claim against the president of the congregation. So the day one, I didn't start yet. Now already you're fighting with the president. What happened? He bought goods from me. He didn't pay for the goods. The guy's, he said, listen, I don't have to hear two sides of the case. There's two sides of the case. We have to bring him. And he said, no, Chas v'Shalom, I don't want to corrupt the rabbi. I want the rabbi to summons him to Bedin. So the Rav says, what should I do? He writes a letter to the Mr. Flan. This is the Rav of Frankfurt. You're summoned to come to Bedin on this day. And he sends it to the president. The president gets the letter. He sends back. Dear Rabbi, I am sure this is a mistake. You must have the wrong guy. After all, I'm the president of the congregation. I know you would not be summoning to court, especially after I just signed your contract. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that this was meant for somebody else. That's how he answers back, the Rav. The Rav gets the letter back. I made a mistake. He sends him back another hazmana. He tells him, listen, it wasn't a mistake. I have the right address. You're the only one president of the congregation. I don't make a mistake. The hazmana, strike two. He texts back. He says, now I see you didn't make a mistake. I'm putting the rabbi on warning. He says, this is a dangerous move that you're making to take me to the court, being that I'm the most influential man in this community. The day came and passed. The president didn't show up to the hazmana. He sends him a third hazmana. Now, once you are delinquent on the third hazmana, you can put him in nidui. Anyway, the president wasn't that bad. The third one, he showed up to the Rav. He shows up to the Rav, and he starts to talk a little fresh to the Rav. He says, you're summoning me to the Rav, you know who I am, I'm busy, I'm rich, I'm this and that, against this creepy guy over here. Who is he? He's a nothing, he's a zero, this guy over here. When you're doing this, the Rav comes along and says, the Rav says, listen, the law is the law, we don't show any favoritism. At that point, all of a sudden, the president opens the door, and the entire kahal comes in, and they start to sing songs, say, congratulations, Hacham, you are officially now the rabbi of our congregation. We were testing you. The president said, we wanted to see if you're a real rabbi or not. We wanted to see if you're willing to even summons the one that hired you. If you're willing to summon him, then already that shows we can trust you, that you're not going to come along now and fall for Shohad and for all these other games. That was it. You don't need Chumashi. That was a test.
Okay.
That was a test. So therefore, we explained the pasuk like this. Who's the lecha? The lecha is talking about the one that hired the judge. So the pasuk is saying, "Shofetim v'shotinim titen lecha." That even you who hired the rabbi, you have to be willing to go to the rabbi for a judgment. Shofetim v'shotinim titen lecha, and you cannot come along and say, hey, "What do you mean over here? I hired you. I'm going to come to you. I hired you to judge everybody else, but I'm above the deen." No. Shofetim v'shotinim titen lecha. Even you who think that you're higher than everybody, you're not. Even you have to be willing to go to the Rav in order to hear his rulings. That's one way. There's another way of understanding. There's another way of understanding based on the Midrash in Megillat Rut. The Midrash in Megillat Rut says, "Vayhi bimei shefot ha-shofetim." There was a time of the Shefot HaShofetim, that the judges were being judged. The judges judged. No, Shefot HaShofetim. They were judging the judges. And the Gemara says that the judges in the times of Boaz, not Boaz, but the judges in that time, they were corrupt. And therefore, they were not living according to the standard, and therefore they weren't practicing what they were preaching. So they were giving rulings, and the litigant says, "You're talking. You committed this crime 15 times. You're telling me about justice." And the Midrash gives the famous mashal that the judge would say to the litigant, "Tol kisam ben shinecha." They say, "You have a little piece of wood that's stuck in your tooth." The judge would tell him, "You have to remove the little piece of wood." He tells me, "You're telling me tol kisam tol koram ben enecha. You have a log in your head. You're telling me about a little piece of wood in my tooth. Who are you to talk?" That means they were corrupt, and therefore nobody was listening to them. So therefore, the prerequisite to be a judge is that the judge has to judge himself first. That after the judge judges himself, that he's living according to the standard, then he's able to judge others. And the pasuk says, "Shofetim v'shoterim titen lecha," to the judge it's talking to. That you yourself can not only sit on the bench and tell other people what to do, but you have to be willing to follow exactly what you're preaching to others. Acham Baruch Alav Hashem used to always say to us that that's what it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Hu Haya Omer. In the beginning it would say, Hu Haya Omer, Hu Haya Omer, Hu Haya Omer. So Acham Baruch would read it like this. Hu Haya, period. First he was, then Omer, then he would say to other people. Which means, first he had to internalize the teaching. Hu Haya. And once already he internalized his own teaching himself, now he was comfortable to say it. But if he's going to say it to others, they're going to say, Tol Korami Ben Anecha, what are you talking over? You don't practice what you preach. So that would be the second explanation. But I mainly came today to come along and explain it in the third way. But in order to understand and appreciate the third way, we need to go back to, after all, we're still in the month of Elul. We cannot forget that. These parashiyot always come in the month of Elul, obviously, to teach us lessons, to teach us guidance in order how to have the right mindset in this most important month. There's a rabbi called the Tur. The Tur was the son of the Rosh, one of the important Rishonim, and he wrote a sefer called Arba'at Turi in Siman Tav Kuf Pe Aleph, which is the beginning of the Hilchot Rosh Hashanah. So the Tur writes a quote. He's quoting from Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. He says, "Berosh Chodesh Elul, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, Ale Elai HaHara." Something happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Hakadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe, Rabbeinu, and he told him, "Ale Elai HaHara, come up the mountain." That's exactly what he told him. "Vesol Lecha Shene Luchot Abanim, Kerishonim, come and chisel for yourself a second set of luchot." That happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up in order to start fashioning for 40 days. He went up to fashion the second luchot. And the pasuk says, "As Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu le Moshe Ale Elai Ahara, come up the mountain. She'az Ala Lekabel Luchot Acharonot." That's when he went to get the second tablets. Ve'aviru shofar b'machane. And what? The blasting of the shofar was sounded throughout the machane. And what was the announcement? Moshe ala lahar. Rabotai, Moshe Rabbeinu has gone up to the mountain. Shelo yit'u od. So the people should not make mistakes. What does it mean they should not make mistakes? So the Tur says, "Shelo yitru od ahar avodah zara." The last time he went up, what happened? They made a avodah zara, they did the egel. So somehow this shofar over here they blew, and this was in order that they should not make a mistake to go after avodah zara, he says. V'akadosh baruch hu nit'ala oto hayom. When Hashem heard that shofar, Bore Olam was elevated. He was so proud of such a shofar. Interesting. Interesting. That's the pasuk that we say before we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We always thought that that pasuk primarily is talking about the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. But the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that that pasuk, Ala Elohim Betru'ah, is really referring to the shofar of Rosh Chodesh Elul. The shofar that they blew when they went up, Moshe Rabbeinu went up. And the question I had was, what is so significant about such a shofar? I mean, that shofar is not, first of all, an obligatory, it's not a mitzvah, there's no beracha. Rosh Hashanah, that's the main shofar. And here we're saying that this shofar over here, when they blow it, I don't even know what the purpose of blowing it for is. Moshe Rabbeinu is going on up to Har Sinai. Okay, Sitchem Neshalom. When they blew the shofar, Shelo Yit'u. something in the shofar will cause them shelo yit'u. And as a result, when Hashem heard this, it says, Alay Elohim mitru'a. Hashem was so happy with such a shofar. Hashem, because shofar. And then the tour finishes. It says, based on this Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Lachen etkinu hachamim, shiyu tok'im berosh chodesh elul, bechol shana v'shana, bechol hachodesh. Which means the Ashkenazim have the custom, our brothers, that what? They blow the shofar, starting on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and they blow it the whole month. Some have the custom to blow it in the morning and the night, some just in the morning. The Bala Rokeach comes along and adds to the tour, and the Rokeach says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai the last 40 times, they actually blew the shofar every single day of the 40 days. They didn't only blow it when he went up, but it was blown for the Minhag of the Shkanim is well documented. And then he says, what does that do? And it causes the Satan to get all confused, all flustered. And the question is, what is that flustered the Satan? You're blowing the shofar. It's already, we're already struggling to understand how the Satan gets flustered on Rosh Hashanah when you blow the shofar. That already, much ink has been spilled to try to explain that. Now you tell me new chiddush, that the shofar that the Ashkenazim blow in. And then we have a bigger question, because if you're a Sephardi like me, a proud Sephardi, I might add, if you're a Sephardi like me, then we say, the salt of the Torah, peringiniza, because we don't blow the shofar. So what do you tell me? All this Hiddush of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, this whole story over here, we don't blow the shofar during the month of Elul. So how are we going to apply whatever moral we're going to learn from this story, how are we going to apply it to the Jews of Sephardic descent? Understand our beginning of the Shiur today? That's the way we're setting it up over here. We're trying to understand this tool. That's what we came to understand. Very simple shiur. But I can't explain the tool. Rabotai. In order to understand this tool, I would like to present to you a Ramban. The Ramban is in this week's Parasha. The Ramban is on the words, Sedek, Sedek, Tirdof. What does this mean? Sedek, Sedek, Tirdof. The Gemara Sanhedrin has an understanding that when you go to a court, you should go to the best court. Sedek, Sedek. Sedek, Sedek, like is creme de la creme. You should go to the best if you have a court in your town. You have one chief rabbi, Big Sadiq, Hakam. You have another guy, he's a rookie. Sedek, Sedek, go to the Hakam. Don't go to the waste your time in the rookie court. That's the Gemara's understanding. But the Ramban says, Epshat al pi hasod. And I'd like to read this to our members here today. I have the Ramban in front of me. Sedek, Sedek. Aval b'midrasho shel Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Darshu bo sod. Amru, Sedek. Zu midat dino shel olam. Sedek, in other words, is deen. Not to be confused with the word tzedakah. Tzedakah is kindness. Sedek iratehe is what?
Justice.
Shene'emar, sedek sedek tedof. And if a person runs after deen, sedek sedek, he runs after justice, what's going to happen? What does it say in the pasuk? Lema'an tichye v'yarashrat ha'aretz. You live. Now, isn't that all what we're looking for at this time of year?
Life.
I don't know, we're trying to figure out how to accomplish lema'an tichye. So, however long, but everybody's purpose is they're trying to live. They're trying to have more life. That's what we're saying. We say to them, Shana Tova, and here in this parasha, if you can imagine, the Ramban, not the Ramban, the Torah is revealing us the biggest secret of all time. If you're here today, consider yourself lucky. This is the biggest secret of all time. It's telling you, Lema'an Techiyeh. If anybody's interested in living, we have now the secret. And what's the secret? Sedek, Sedek, Tirdof. But what does that mean, Sedek, Sedek, Tirdof? So the Ramban says, Im Tadin Atzmecha, tehiye ve'im lav hu yadin alecha ve'tekayem ba'al korcha. Says the Ramban something incredible. Ramban says, there's going to be deen. Everybody's going to have to go through a process called deen.
Heshbon.
Deen. The question is, where is the deen going to come from? There's two places where deen can come from. It can either come from upstairs. When the deen comes from upstairs, it's unmitigating. It's uncompromising. The deen of Lema'ala is a strict deen. But then there's another deen. There's a deen Lemata. And which deen is that? That's the deen that the person makes on himself. That's the own fences that a person makes. And the own tikkunim that he makes. And the own lifestyle changes that he makes. The Ramban says, from Rabbi Nehunya ben Akana, he says, "Im tadin atzmecha." If you say, "Borei Olam, I'll handle it. I'll do the judgment. I'll be my judge. I'll handle it." So the pasuk says, "Sedek sedek tzedof." If you run after the judgment on your own, which means you do the self-serve judgment. You don't need the attendant to do it for you. The attendant comes and says, "You want deen? No, I'm doing the self-serve. I'll handle it myself." So the pasuk says, "Oh, you do it yourself." Lamad tahiyeh, which is amazing sigula. That means, or you could say, "Listen, I'm going to do what I want, and what else I'm going to handle the justice." Well, I'm going to do the deen. The midrash says in Devarim, in midrash Devarim Rabbah, in Perek Chet Ot He, the midrash says like this: "Im yesh deen lemata en deen lema'ala." That when there's justice on earth, there's no justice in heaven. Which means, Borei Olam says, if you're handling it, I don't gotta, you're handling it. What does it mean, handling it? I'm looking at my own self, and I'm analyzing my own ways, and I'm studying my practices, and I'm saying, this is what I'm doing is no good, this needs a tikkun, this needs to be fixed, this needs to be adjusted, hey, I'm loose over here, I gotta mend the fence on this item over here. So Buddha says, wow, the guy's his own judge. The guy's going through each item over here and he's making the proper tikkunim. He's his own enforcer as well. After he makes the judgment on himself, he's putting in an enforcement. He says, if I don't follow it, I'm going to pay kanas. If I don't follow it, I can't, punish myself with a certain penalty. That's unbelievable. The guy's the shofet, the guy's the shoter. Borei Olam says, sedek sedek tedok lema'an techiyeh. I brought a proof to this concept. Now you can ask me, I don't need you to bring me a proof that Ramban said it. That's the proof. I'm bringing you another remez to this. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says something incredible. He said, what happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul? What happened on that day? What happened on that day was something amazing. Why did they blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the last 40 days? Why did they blow the shofar in the middle 40 days? I mean, Moshe, Rabotai, can I go through the whole history of what happened in the 40 days? He went up three times. Are you aware of that? He went up the first 40 days to get the Torah. Then he went up 40 days again just to calm everything down. Then he went up the last 40 days. When did they blow the shofar? The last 40 days. What happened on that last 40 days over there? So something amazing happened. They worshipped the Egel. After they worshipped the Egel, Borei Olam said, it's over. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's over. I need 1 second. Give me 1 second, ve'achale otam. All of them. There'll be no remnants. And we'll start again, a new nation. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens for the first 40 days just to stop the item. Now, B'nai Yisrael on earth, they have no idea what's going to happen. They have no idea if Moshe Rabbeinu will come down and say, I couldn't make a deal, it's over. Count to one, and you're going to be finished. And by the way, no Torah, no nothing. That's it. They didn't know what Moshe's going to answer. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down after 40 days on Rosh Chodesh Elul, on the day before, but that's the one when he gave them the news. And what does he tell them? No, not by no means. By no means. He said, listen, I have not great news, but I don't have bad news either. The news I have to report to the congregation is that God has invited me back up to start the writing of the second Luchot. Whoa, they said, whoa, tremendous news. Now, he's still angry. He didn't say, I forgive you. But there's been what's called an appeasement. There's been an appeasement over here. The last time I went up, there was nothing. I was negotiating, no Luchot, no. Now already, now if he's telling me to write the Luchot, that means there's a shot. Listen, no, there's a shot that we might get the Luchot without any other benefit, and which is okay, but there's a chance that we might be able to. When they heard this, they said, wow, this is a tremendous item. That's why these days are Yemei Ratzon. Because on that day, they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu that Borei Olam is in an appeasement mood over here. He's allowing me to go forward in the process. Says Birkei Debili Ezer, you know what happened to Bnei Yisrael at that point? They started to shake. They said, what do you think? The Yetzer Hara retired? You think just because we did the Egel once, the Yetzer Hara now, why, he went to Miami Beach to retire? The Yetzer Hara, they were worried. What stops the Yetzer Hara from doing this again? By the way, we came out of Mitzrayim. We came out of Mitzrayim, we were on the highest level. And the Yetzer Hara figured out some way to dupe us and to trick us. And before we knew it, we were frolicking around in Egel with the gold that was in our ears 5 minutes before. And now they started to get nervous. They said, what's going to be with us over here? So you know what the Pirkei Devar Ezer says? Who blew the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul? Who blew the shofar? Not Moshe. Exactly. If you look at the Lashon of the Tur, it says, Ve'eviru shofar b'machane. All of a sudden, the people started to blow to the shofar. What was the explanation? The Tur says, Shelo yit'u od. They said, Rabotai, we're in trouble. That shofar was to remind everybody, Rabotai, we have a golden opportunity. God is biritsui now. God told our master Moshe to write the second law. We cannot mess up again. And says Pirkei Debili Ezer that they started to make fences for themselves, and they started to make deen on themselves, and they started to make all sorts of tikkunim, so it will not happen again. And Rukayah says, and they blew for 40 days. And what was the 40 days? To remind them, Rabotai, we are now in Et Ratzon, and therefore we have to be careful not to relapse. It's like somebody that was an addict, and every day he has to remember you were an addict. You could fall into addiction in 1 second, you'll be back in the rehab again. And if everybody has to remind himself of where he was and what the potential, and if he has to keep on making fences. And all of a sudden, says Pirkei Debili Ezer, God says, who told them to blow the shofar and make all these fences? I didn't tell them to do anything. He didn't tell them anything. It's not Rosh Hashanah. I didn't command them. Borei Olam says, on their own, they're coming along now. And they realize that this is an opportune time. And they're coming and they're making deen on themselves. Nobody asked them to do anything. It's not Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur, it's Elul. Oh, so at that point the Pasuk says, when God heard the shofar and what that shofar represents, shofar melashon shifru ma'asechem. Shifru ma'asechem meaning better fix your ways or even more. Mend your ways in order that you will not come to relapse. What happened? It says, Allah Elohim b'teru'ah. Borei Olam was elevated in such a teru'ah even more than the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Because the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is mandatory. This shofar that they blew in Elul was self-motivated. And like the Ramban said, k'sheyesh din lemata, en din lemala. And for 40 days, I cannot tell you what fences they were making for themselves. But they were involved in building walls for themselves in order not to relapse in Chas v'Shalom, like the Tur says, Shelo yit'u od. Like they should not. And that shofar was a reminder every day, like an alarm is set off. Rabotai, don't forget what's going on over here. We're not in Stam days over here. We're in a time of Ritzui. And if we're in a time of Ritzui, we can't mess up. We can't fall back into the Avodah Zarah. And don't let the answer say, you're not going to fall in. Well, we fell in once. Once you fell in once, you can fall in twice, you can fall in 10 times. And all of a sudden Hashem says, This is a self-motivated, this is a self-inflicted deen. Ala Elohim b'tru'ah. Ala Elohim b'tru'ah Adonai b'kol shofar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was elevated with such a shofar. And Adrabba, it caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to even now come eventually, after 40 days, and tell the people what on Yom Kippur? Salachti. Now this is unbelievable. Now this is my chiddush I'm saying now. What is the Rabbi doing? If you're right in front of the door, you have to scream over there. The building is 10,000 square feet. He chose to scream right in front of the door. So you see over here, Rabotai, what happened? All of a sudden, 40 days later, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and gets, I have unbelievable news for you. I have unbelievable news. Forget about appeasement. Appeasement days are over. Now I'm giving you new news. Now I'm telling you, he said, Salachti. Why? That's a... Lo ayu yamim tovim yisrael kiyom kippurim. Now already we reached a new level of Salachti. And that's why every year in Yom Kippur what happens? On Yom Kippur, we relive those moments of Salachti. But I explained like this. There's a big question. What's the reason why we blow shofar on Motzei Kippur? There's no deen to blow shofar on Motzei Kippur unless it's the year of the Yovel, the Jubilee year. But you need to blow shofar to go to eat. I promise you, if we don't blow the shofar, you're going to eat. I know it. I guarantee it. You're waiting for the shofar, you're eating. So therefore, what's the reason why we blow the shofar? So I saw one interpretation, beautiful interpretation from one of the Hachamim. He said, because the custom is, Moshe, you'll confirm this to us, in a court case, when it's a heated court case, and finally one of the sides wins, what do? They make a celebration. Who do they invite to the party? They have their defense lawyer, they call all the witnesses that they brought, and they call all the clerks and the secretary, anybody who was part of the victory, they bring to make a l'chaim together, you know. So now, the holiday's over, and we hear the voice in heaven says, Lech echol b'simcha l'amecha o'shte b'lev tov yenecha. Go drink, baby. You won the case against the Satan. So we said, wait, where's the shofar? Bring the shofar. The shofar was the main item for us. The shofar was the main lawyer. The whole shofar. Bring the shofar back over here. Bring the shofar. It's part of the item. You can forget the shofar is what you're celebrating. You didn't invite me to the party over there. Everybody's enjoying, taking victory laps. What about me? I was the main guy. Okay, bring the shofar. Bring the shofar after. Not in dedicated edits. But based on that, we're saying, we can understand this reason deeper, like Halfon right away jumped on it. Which we were coming along and saying, what shofar are we taking over here? This is the shofar that we started the process with. Which is we started the process of Rosh Chodesh Elul with a shofar, and we end the process of Motzei Kippur with a shofar. That's the bookends of this process. It begins with shofar. And what's the key? The key is over here that all the siyagim that we made, all the fences that we made. So we come along and say like this. If on Rosh Chodesh Elul, when there was just Ritsui, and what do? We made fence. Now we got Salachti, so we have to blow the shofar again, as if to say, don't mess up now. Now you got Salachti, now you have to make sure you keep the fences that you made. Be'emet, we should blow the shofar every day of the year. But we can't. That's it. So the shofar that we don't want to say, Kippur, actually is supposed to ring in our brains from Kippur all the way to Rosh Chodesh Elul the next year. That's the final blade to say, Rabotai, don't fall back into your ways. You finally got to the level of Salahti, you did it. Now what? You're going to start lighting up after Kippur, make holes in the walls again, you'll be back to where you are again, like a dog that goes back on his Kedev Hashem al Ke'o. That's the sword of the shofar on Motzei Kippur. If that's the case, Rabotai, we understand the power of the shofar. The tzaddikim say, if you look in the Mizmor that we say every single day, it's the 150th chapter. Pick up the book again. The 150th chapter in the Tehillim. So it says Hallelujah, Hallelujah b'kodesho. In that chapter, what does it say at the end? Hallelujah b'techa shofar. Hallelujah. Interesting. The shofar is a Hallelujah. I didn't know it's Hallelujah. I didn't know it's a Hallel. Based on this, we said the other day, I threw it in the Shi'ur just as a heke. Nobody picked it up, but I threw it in anyway. I said that the Gemara says we don't say Hallel on Purim. On Purim, we don't say Hallel. So the Gemara says, you don't have to say Hallel. Kriyatazu Halila. The Kriya of the Megillah is the Hallel. And I said, and the same thing, the Gemara says, we don't have Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. And then I said, why? Tekiatazu Halila. That the blowing of the shofar is the Hallel. And everybody said, okay, the rabbi says, I made up a Gemara. Don't Gemara like that. The Gemara doesn't say that. But I said, Tekiatazu Halila. But I have a source. Because the Pasuk says, Halleluhu beteka shofar. That when a person blows the shofar, Halleluhu, it's considered the Hallel. That means the Hallel is... But I have a proof, Rabotai, that this is not talking about the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. I have a proof. My proof is this is talking about the shofar of Elul. And even though we don't blow the shofar in Elul, it's the concept what it represents. It's a symbol, exactly. It's not the blowing. What the blowing is the thing, so go blow a trumpet, go blow a horn, go blow a bugle, exactly. Go blow your nose, Mars. The point is, it's not the blowing of the shofar, it's what it represents. So watch how we explained. Look at this here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times does it say Hallelujah in this Mizmor? 12 times. Kenegan, the 12 months of the year. Every month. And that's why we repeat the last twice. For the leap year. So you have 13. That's why we repeat it. Oh, exactly. That's why we repeat it. For the leap year. Now watch. So it comes out like this. Hallelujah. That's the first month of the year, which is what? That would be on the first month. Let's go according to the Torah's version of the first month, which is Nisan. Hallelujah bekocho. So what would that be? The second month, which is what? Nisan Iyam. And then Hallelujah b'rkiya uzo. Hallelujah b'gburotav. Hallelujah kerob gudlo. Rabotai, I'll go again. Hallelujah Nisan. Halul bekocho iyar, halul b'kiya uzo sivan, halul b'gburotav tamuz, halul kerov gudlo ab, halul b'teka shofar elul. So the sixth one is referring to the shofar of elul. Halul b'teka shofar is the shofar of elul, because that's the one is alay luim b'truah. It was unbelievable. Why is this one the halil? Because you did it on your own. I didn't ask you to do it. I didn't ask you to do nothing. You're starting to make fences on yourself. You're starting to make deen on yourself. You're starting to to fix yourself. That's the biggest halal you can make. Borei Olam says, I don't have to judge you. And that's the pshat. What it means, the Satan gets all confused. The Satan comes along on... 12 times? How did that? Every, no, Musa, can I go through everything that's 12 times? This is the, we're talking about this one. 100%. 100%. Honey, there's a lot of things that are 12 times. We know that. But the point over here is, that's why the Satan gets flustered. Why? The Satan gets flustered in Elul because over says, hold it. I'm preparing the case against these guys. And they're doing the case themselves. They took the self-serve lane. They went into the self-serve. So the Satan gets all flustered over me. He says, I cannot judge them if they're judging themselves. I can only judge people that did not judge themselves. But if they're judging themselves, I'm not. So the Satan gets all flustered over me. What are they doing over here? They beat the system. They just did. They beat the system. And how do you beat the system? Now I explain to you in actuality, without talking in the scars, in the sky. The Rabbeinu Ha'ari said an unbelievable chiddush. The Rabbeinu Ha'ari said, that what? He said that just like you have gates of the city, that every human being has gates on his body. And he came along and he said, and the gates are the two eyes, these are gates that come in, the two ears, he has the nose, and he has the mouth, the seven gates. The seven gates. That's not the five senses, my friend. That's not the five senses, with all due respect. We didn't talk about touch. We're talking about the gates. It's okay, it's fine. It's fine.
What was the first mistake?
I'm sure not. That's why I didn't tell you to make Shehayana, because it's not the first mistake. The point is, and your last one was within 30 days, so you don't have to make Shehayana. The point is, you have over here the gates. The eyes are gates. It's a gateway to whatever you look at. There's a gate. It goes into the Shema. The ears are a gate, which you hear. The mouth, the nose. I always had a struggle whenever we say this chiddush. Okay, the eyes we know, lotaturu. We know the ears, lashon hara. The mouth we learned, you know, terefot. The what comes out of your mouth also. But I never understood what the nose was. The nose was smelling chametz on Pesach. What's the? But we learned this week, kaas. Kaas is in the nose. Beharaaf. So therefore, be careful. So therefore, the pasuk according to Arizal is like this: Shofetim veshoterim teten lecha. Who's the lecha? Because Mars, all the members that were sitting here today said, "Beautiful. This pasuk doesn't apply to me. I'm not a judge. It doesn't apply. We have no judges. We have no nothing." But Arizal says, "No. Shofetim veshoterim teten lecha. I'm talking to you. What? Bechol she'arecha, and all of your gates, in your eyes, in your ears, in your mouth, in your nose. You have to make tziyagim. You have to make fences. You have to be the judge and put all sorts of protection that these gates do not become broken from the Yetzer Hara." And he says, if you look at biologically your body, every one of these has a gate. The eyes have a gate, the afapayim. The ear has a gate, the lobes. The nose, by the way, it's easy. It's cartilage over here where you can close it very easily. The mouth, of course, it has many gates. And therefore, if you see that the way biologically Hashem created these items, He showed you what? They have to have gates on these things. Without gates, these things will be the destruction of man. And besides the biological gates that Hashem put for you, the pasuk is saying, shofetim v'shoterim, you have to add judges and you have to add enforcement. Teten lecha, you, every single Jew, in the month of Elul, at the time that they blew the shofar, during the time of Ritzui, when everybody started to make din on themselves, we cannot read this parasha at a better time. The pasuk comes and say, every single person has to make tikkun. You can't just come along now in the time of Ritzui. If the time of Ritzui happened 3,000 years ago, that means it happens every time this year. And then you have to say to yourself, hold it. What's going to promise me that I don't fall back into my old behavior? So if you know what? I have to put a watch on my gadgets. I have to, what if I, where I go. When I'm sitting on Shabbat table, I have to put a fence. How my mouth doesn't get lost into Lashon Hara. I have to put a fence in when I'm sitting down with my ears here. Or my kaas. I have to put a fence on my... If a guy's not going to start working on Shofetim and Shoterim, so the gates are wide open. So the Satan comes along and says, beautiful. They're not making deen? Then I can make the deen. And once the deen is made by the Satan, we don't stand a chance. Tzedek, tzedek, tzedof. And what's the benefit? If you're looking to live, then the tzedek has to be self-motivated. And the shofar that they blew, and who blew it? Moshe didn't tell them, blow the shofar. It's ve'eviru shofar b'mahari. They themselves will ma'avir the shofar. As to come and say, Rabotai, life cannot be the same. An addict cannot come along and live like everybody else. He has to live now on a different level. And the shofar elevated them. And when they did that, what does the pasuk say? Alai Elohim b'tru'a. Boreel says, wow. And David HaMelech says, Halleluhu b'tek ha-shofar. What shofar? The shofar of Elul is the Halleluhu. That's the biggest praise over there. Because it's coming from the person himself. And that's the musar of the parasha. It's true. Shofetim v'shoterim teten lecha is talking to the president. Even you are subject to the rabbi, even though you hired him. Yes, it's talking to the judges as well. Practice what you preach. But the main derash of the Arizal, Shofetim, is talking to all of us. You have to be your own judge, and you have to be your own enforcement. And if you make a fence and you didn't keep your fence, you have to pay. People make kanas on themselves. Oh, you didn't keep your fence? Now the punishment. You got to read. You can't go to sleep before you learn the Perek HaMishnayot. Your mother said, what do you mean? Why'd you go to sleep? But you're breaking your eyes now reading. I broke a fence today. Therefore, I have a kanas to pay. Well, you got to write yourself a check until your hand hurts to write the check. Whatever it is, the shoterim, enforcement. Without these tricks of enforcement and shofetim, we don't stand a chance. And then the pasuk is telling us, sedek, sedek. When you pursue sedek on yourself, then Be'ezat Hashem will be the man tehyeh ve'erashtata.